amen. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. We've been going through Genesis for some time now, just kind of get a basic idea of the Old Testament and really the foundation of our faith. And it started with Abraham and how Abraham was a man of faith and believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that faith really propelled Abraham and then the rest of his family. And really that led all the way to us today, that we, if you read the book of Romans, are a people of faith based on really what Abraham believed and what we believe, that God is true and real and desires to do great things through us. And so I want to continue that thought with Genesis and with Jacob and how God used him in a mighty, mighty way. So please take some time, turn to Genesis 28. And I'm going to really start in verse 10. I'm going to preach more than that, but really start in verse 10 and read through the end of the chapter. Here's what the Bible says, Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up upon the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar. And he poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt surely give me, I will surely give thee a tenth unto thee. Father, we come before you to say thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself so many times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us that we may follow you and understand what eternal life is. And Lord, I pray today that we would clearly see you, that you have your eye upon us. And Lord, I pray that you would transform us and redeem us and move us and cause us to be a people that simply follow you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. Lord, I pray that you would be with me. Let me speak with boldness and compassion in such a way that all can understand with great clarity. And Lord, I pray that you would make good on your promise that when your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I heard about a Catholic school that was serving lunch, and the nuns had put a sign by the apples, and it says, only take one, God is watching. Well, as you go down the table, there was a big pile of cookies, and some little boy wrote with his own handwriting and put it in front of the cookies, the chocolate chip cookies, take all you want, God is watching the apples. I kind of like that. He's probably a little Osteen boy, but I'm telling you, sometimes people have that understanding that God is watching so-and-so, but maybe not watching them. That God has his eye on these people, but maybe he does not have his eyes on me. I'm here to tell you, Jacob was a man just like that. He knew God was watching Abraham, and he knew God watched over Isaac, but he did not recognize that God had his eyes on him. And in this passage, we will see that he comes to find out that God surely saw him and that God wanted to bless him with a great life. And so there's some things in this passage that we need to understand. Hey, let's take a moment and dig down and recognize some things that God wants us to see ourselves. First, there is Jacob and his departure. When you read verse 10, it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, we need to quickly recognize there's a lot of backstory to this idea. There's some things going on there. Jacob will leave for two reasons. One, he is leaving first because he has a problem. Now, at first glance, you think, well, man, this guy has got it all together. He seems good. Matter of fact, if you read the first part of the chapter there, he's been blessed by his father. He's been given an inheritance. If you read chapter 27, which we're not going to do, there's some things that he was promised by his father, servants and land and all these things. He was given an inheritance and a land and legal birthright. Matter of fact, if you read 28 verses 3 and 4, this is his father speaking to him, and God Almighty bless you and make thee a fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee a blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, and thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. And so, man, he has been blessed. The second thing we need to see is that he also has a purpose. So we're going to get back to the problem here in a minute, but right now he looks like things are going good. His purpose is for leaving is that he is looking for a wife. Now, we may not recognize all that, but again, from a distance, everything looks good. So I want to back up for a second and recognize there's problems in his life. If you recognize in Genesis 25, he's kind of taking advantage of his brother. We'll find out that his brother Esau cannot stand him, that his brother Esau has made a promise to kill him. Why? Because in Genesis 25, when his brother Esau came from the field faint, Jacob made him sold his birthright. In other words, took something from him when he could have had compassion. And then in Genesis 27, he tricked his father into blessing him instead of Esau, his brother. And so here's the long and short of it. Genesis 27, verse 36. Here's the words of Esau, his brother. And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he supplanted me these two times and took away my birthright. Now behold, he has taken away my blessing." Verse 41 says, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of my mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob.'" In other words, Esau said, "My dad's about to die. When he dies, I'm going to kill my brother Jacob." And so that's why we find this man on the run. And I can't say it enough. When you look at him from a distance, everything looks good, but in reality, he's on the run for his life. And the reason I'm trying to make this point is because I've learned in ministry over the years that the outside is not always a good indicator of what's going on the inside. I have learned in my time in ministry that many people look like things are well, but in reality, they are not. Jacob is a guy just like that. And you may be the person this morning just like that. Can I tell you first, you're not alone. We all have our issues. We all have our problems. We all have things that we're dealing with. The good news is this, that as Jacob will find help, so can we. And things may not be right on the inside this morning. Your life may be upside down. Again, the good news is the same one that helped Jacob will be the same one that can and will help us if we will cry out with faith. And so he leaves because of a problem, but let me get back to this pursuit. He is also pursuing something else. Let me read Genesis 28 verses 1 and 2 again. "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'Thou shalt take not the wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, to thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother.'" So he's looking for a wife, and his dad says, "Go down there to your mother's brothers and marry your first cousin." Now, does that sound strange, except for maybe people in Tennessee, amen? Brother Tim, I didn't realize how biblical those people in Tennessee were till I read this, amen. Now, what he's trying to do is pursue something that he thinks will make him feel better or complete in life. Matter of fact, he's got to leave his father and mother and pursue something he thinks, "Man, I'm going to start a new life. If I could just get here and get married, if I could just get a different relationship, if I could just get away from this and start here, man, my life's going to be good." I keep thinking about the world today, and we find ourselves doing the same thing. Sometimes we pursue things thinking, "If I could just get this, my life would be better." I wonder today what we're pursuing that we think will make life complete. Maybe it's that perfect education, this perfect college degree. Maybe it's that perfect job. If I could just interview just right and land this job, man, my life would be wonderful. Maybe it's that perfect toy. Maybe it's that four-wheeler or that boat or that perfect house. Or maybe that perfect spouse. I wrote down here, sorry, she's already taken, amen. Now, none of these are bad. Matter of fact, Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm telling you, those things alone cannot satisfy you. Those things alone cannot fill you. Those things alone cannot make you complete. Is only one thing. So the question is, what are you pursuing this morning? What are you chasing after? What are you running after today? And I know you say, well, preacher, I'm in church today, therefore you should know I'm pursuing the Lord. And I want to say, just because you're in church today does not mean that you're pursuing God at all. You maybe heard me tell me the story. I had a dear, faithful loved one that I truly care about. They lived in Atlanta at one time, and I had prayed for them and encouraged them. And one day I was talking to her. She said, hey, we have joined a church. I said, that is great. Until I began to hear her words and explain. She said, yeah, I'm starting a catering business. I've been reading about the business aspect. And they said, the best way to get off your feet is to join a church, to have a ready-made customer base in church on a regular basis, but she was not pursuing God. Well, we'll find out. She finally was pursued by God and got saved. Amen? That's just how God works. And so maybe today you're pursuing for a wrong reason. You're here for the wrong reason, but I'm telling you, God can make it right. And I begin to think about my life and our lives. How can we know that we're pursuing the Lord or what we are pursuing? Somebody made a great statement. Well, you can check your pursuits by your calendar and your checkbook, what you spend your time and money on. This is not a negative thing. It's just a reality check. We spend our time and money on things that we like. Now, again, nothing wrong. I have a boat. Somebody said a boat is a hole in the water that you throw money in. Amen. If you've got a boat, you know what I'm talking about. You just spend money on that thing. That's a pursuit of mine. But that is not what makes me complete. And it will not make you complete either. So I wonder, are you using what God has given you to pursue Him? Are you using what God has given you to pursue the cause of Christ? Are you pursuing and investing in the kingdom of God? Does anything in your life point to your pursuit of Christ Jesus? Can I say at this point, in Jacob's life, all of his time and all of his resources are not for God at all, but on himself. Everything is about Jacob. Jacob is not pursuing the Lord. But what I can say, in that moment, the Lord was pursuing Jacob. I wonder today if you'll think about your life and wonder if you will think about what you're truly seeking. I wonder if you come for a reason that you, other than the Lord, maybe came for a time to spend with a friend or to please mom and dad or even please your spouse. Again, you may not be here for the right reasons, but the Lord surely is here. And He is here this morning to open and reveal Himself to you simply because He loves you. Even in this place, in this small town of Worthington, God has His eye on you. How do I know? Look back in the Bible. The Lord found Moses on the backside of the desert. All alone, God saw him and found him. The Lord found Abraham in a town of unbelievers, wicked people. God saw him and saved him. The Lord found the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus trying to kill Christians. God saw him and saved him. I'm telling you today, you may have come for the wrong pursuits, but God is pursuing you. How do I know? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That verse says that God desires that everybody get saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Ezekiel 33 reminds us that He doesn't want people to die in their wickedness. He says, Ezekiel 33:11, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And then 2 Peter 3:9, that I quote so many times, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is pursuing you. Jacob's not at the moment, but he will. And I begin to think this past week, Jacob's life is kind of like our life. Do you know we're always departing and pursuing something. We always are. I think about when we were born, we were parted from our mother one sense, and now we're pursuing life as a child. Then at about age 5, we depart from home and start our grade school education. And then we leave our grade school and pursue a career. And then we leave our single life maybe and pursue a spouse. And then we leave our career and pursue. We're always departing and pursuing something. But there'll be a time when we depart from this world and receive the reward of all our pursuits. So the question is, what are you pursuing today? Jacob was not at the time, but we'll see. He will start soon pursuing the things that are right. Notice the second part of the sermon, not just Jacob and his departure, but now Jacob and his discovery. You begin to see that Jacob's going to get his eyes on God. Now, he knew all about the Lord. I'm telling you, he did. He had heard the stories of Abraham. Matter of fact, he heard how Abraham was sought by God. He knew, like we know in James, that Abraham was a friend of God. He'd heard all the stories, how Abraham was going to offer his son Isaac, and God provided the sacrifice. He had heard and seen Isaac, his father, build altars and praise the Lord. He had heard about God, but he himself did not know God. And so we're going to find that his discovery just starts with a divine appointment. Notice verse 11. Genesis 28:11 says, "And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." Now, just get the picture there. He's running from his life. His father has said, leave. His mother, if you said, hey, you got to go to your brothers, my uncles, and find a wife there. So he's leaving. He's going, and it gets kind of start getting dark. And he just says, well, this is as good a place as any. And so he just lays down. This seems to be a random place and a random circumstance, just a place to stop. But guess what? That is the place where God is going to meet with him. That is the place that God is going to show up. And I just get excited thinking about every Sunday, because I know the Lord is in this place because of Scripture, and I know that God shows up, and it's amazing that we are here by divine appointment. And so there he is, lays down to sleep. Brother Dennis, that's the first church sleeper, amen? The first one. And as he lays down, notice what happens. He discovers the person of God. Notice verse 13. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." In that moment, as he lays down, as he sleeps, he begins to dream. He sees this ladder, but at the top of the ladder, there is the Lord. I am the Lord. He reveals himself as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, the one he's heard about, but now he is the one that he will experience. The Lord reveals himself, but not just himself, but now reveals the ladder. That was the gateway to heaven. Verse 12 says, "And he dreamed, behold, a ladder set up to the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven, and behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it." So it tells us that it reached into the heavens, and the angels were ascending and descending. Jacob sees this as the ladder of God, the access point. And so we can say Jacob sees the Father, but he also sees Christ the Son. Now you say, well, hang on, preacher, that's a pretty far stretch. Well, evidently Jesus thought that way, because when you turn to the New Testament, the book of John, John chapter 1, verse 51, remember the conversation that Philip brings his brother Nathanael to speak to Jesus, and Jesus said, man, I saw you under the fig tree before you got here, and he began to say, Rabbi, and he says some other things there, and Jesus says, you're going to see greater things. Here's what Jesus says, John 1, 51. "And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heavens open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Same exact thing. You know what Jacob saw? He saw God the Father and God the Son. He saw the ladder that was the access point to the Father above. He saw that there was but one way. Matter of fact, Jesus would go on to say in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved." Jesus would also say, John 14:6, "I am the way." The writer of Acts says in 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is but one way, and that ladder which leads to God, which is Christ Jesus. You know, some people in the past, if you go back to, I think it's in Genesis chapter 11, they tried to build a ladder in one sense, or really tried to build a tower that reached into the heavens. They thought, the people of Babel thought they could reach God by themselves, but God showed them they could not. You say, what's got to do with this? Because people today think they can do the same thing. They'll say, if I just live good enough, I'll reach God. You cannot, my friends. Your good cannot outweigh your bad. But there is one that will give you grace and make this possible. I'm telling you, when he sees the ladder, when he recognizes this, this is the day that Jacob gets saved. Maybe you're here today wishing that same thing. Maybe you wish today that you could come to faith. Maybe today you wish you were here and that you could say, I wish that Christ was my King. I wish that the Lord was my Savior. I wish I knew God like that, but I'm not like Jacob. Can I tell you quickly that Jacob's nothing special? Matter of fact, he is not honorable. He lied to his father in order to receive a blessing. He was not good-hearted. He would not give his brother something to eat unless he gave up his birthright. He was not a man of excellent reputation. His name meant deceiver. Or liar. There was nothing good about Jacob. He was not saved because he was good. He was saved because God was good. I'm telling you, if you're here today, there's hope for all of us. That God has his eyes on us. Reminded in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a son of the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He discovered the person of God. But he also discovered the place of God. Notice verse 16. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel means house of God. He really confesses because he feels like he came in that place not with reverence, that he was not worthy to be there, and he was not. You're right. And so today we need to recognize about reverence to God. Not too long ago, I had a thought. Somebody broke into the church office, kicked in the front door, kicked in my door, kicked in Brother Tim's door, stole some stuff from Todd's and Tim's. Evidently, I didn't have anything of value to steal from my office. But the guy broke into the Lord's house in one sense. And we said, where is the respect? But then I'm reminded that we all come in here, sometimes even worse, with an unrepentant heart, with one that hates another, that sows discord, that finds opportunity to put others down. We need to recognize we're in God's house. We're in the Lord's house, and we ought to honor him. Jacob did not realize that to begin with, but now he does. And he is petrified in one sense because he knows this is the place of the presence of God. Can I remind you about this place? It is a place of priority that we should come and honor the Lord above. Matter of fact, we do this on the first day of the week because of Acts chapter 20. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they made it a priority to be in the Lord's house on a regular basis. This place is a place of prayer. If we look at Matthew 21, Jesus said, it is written, my house should be called a house of prayer. But then he says, you have made it a den of thieves. It is a place of praise. Jacob says, how dreadful is this place in verse 17. That word dreadful is nora in the Hebrew. It means awesome. It means wonderful, majestic. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? To experience the goodness and grace of God. To praise his great name. We need to recognize today that the Lord is worthy to be praised. It was a place of provision. Provisions based on the promise of God. Notice verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac. The land when thou liest to thee. Notice, will I give it? God gives us that great promise that I will give you. I like what the New Testament writer says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his glory in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, God is a giver and desires that we have our needs met. Not only will he give you, but he will be with you. Notice verse 15, behold, I am with thee. And if you read it on down in that same verse, for I will not leave thee. The psalmist writer said that same thought, Psalms 139, verse 7 through 10. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. God was letting him know that I will be there for you, Jacob. Jacob doesn't deserve it, but God has got involved in his life and now has saved him and will keep him. As a Christian, we are guarded on all sides just as Jacob was. We have God before us. If you read Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17, God is behind us in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. God is on our right side in Psalm 16, 8. He is on to our left side in Job 23, 9. God is above us in Psalms 36, 7. He is underneath us in Deuteronomy 33, 27. And his spirit is within us in 1 Corinthians 3:16. There is no place we can go that God will not be with us. Then he says in verse 15, I will keep thee in all places. He has given us promise after promise after promise to his people that we know he is with us. I keep thinking about a couple of funerals this past week, and I'm reminded of that 23rd Psalm. Yea, thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Hebrews 13:5 says at the end of the verse, says, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This house that he's in is something special. It is a house that God heals the brokenhearted, that calms the fears of the worried, forgives the sins of the wicked, restores the fellowship of those who are forsaken, and heals the sick by the prayers of the saints. It is a place that the hurting can be healed. Jacob discovers that place. I wonder, have we? Have you discovered that God is seeking you? Or have you recognized the ladder that is before us, which is the Lord Almighty through his Son, Christ Jesus? Jacob had an encounter with a holy God and begins to trust and follow him. It is this day of salvation. How do I know? Notice the last part of the sermon. Not just Jacob's departure and Jacob's discovery, but now Jacob and his dedication. Look what he does, verse 18. And Jacob arose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. He took the ordinary and made it extraordinary. He took what he had to worship God, even a rock. He pours oil out as a sacrifice on top of it. It is a picture of life poured out. You say, well, why didn't he do like Abraham? Or why didn't he do like Isaac and offer a turtle dove or a ram? That's all he had. If you read his testimony in Genesis 32:10, here's what he says as he speaks about it. He says, I am not worthy of the least of all mercies of all the truths which thou showed thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan and now become two bands. In other words, when he's running, all he had was his staff and evidently a little bit of oil. And so he offers that to the Lord. He says, Lord, I am yours. And here's a sacrifice. Dedicates himself to the Father above. And then he makes a promise in verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, stop right there. He just said that he would. And will keep me, stop right there. He just said that he would. And if thou will give me, stop right there. He just said that he would. So that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I've set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, will I surely give thee a tenth unto thee. Do you know what he's saying? Lord, I believe. And if you do your part, I'm going to do my part. If you bless, I'm going to recognize that and bless back. If you give, I will simply give. Now, I'm not preaching on tithing this morning. Don't worry. But I'm telling you, you ought to give back to God. You ought to give your time and your efforts and your energy and your praise. You ought to give everything back to the Father above. Why? Because he is the true blesser and creator and maker of all things. And he so desires to lead you in that right way. It was that day that Jacob turn from a give me person to a giving person. He recognized that all blessings came from above. And so Jacob dedicates his life in following the Lord, and the rest is history. From this man comes the 12 tribes. Jacob will become Israel. His name changed. We'll see that a little bit later on. Name means the Prince of God. From those 12 tribes, one of the tribes is a man named Judah. And from the descendants of Judah, we have a man, God, called Christ Jesus, that dies for the sins of the world. All because of this one, Jacob says, I will follow thee. I wonder today at what we're doing. I wonder today, when you look at your pursuits, will you hand your problems over to the Lord? Will you trust Him with all that you have? And will you stand on the promises that God has made real? I like what the songwriter said. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Jacob did. I wonder today, will you? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. When you came in this place today, you may not have realized, but this was a divine appointment. The Word of God goes forth and never comes back void. Maybe today everything looks good on the outside, but you know it is not. Why not seek the Lord right where you sit? Call upon Him and say, Lord, save me. Help me in my times of troubles. Help me in my times of despair. And watch God work in your life. If you're here today and never have experienced God, why not be like Jacob for the first time, recognize His hand of mercy and grace, and call upon Him? The Bible is so clear, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. God's calling, I wonder, will you respond? God is seeking you, I wonder, will you seek Him? Don't miss the greatest opportunity in the world to trust God and live for Him day by day. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful today for Your Scripture that reveal Yourself in all kind of ways and in so many places. Thank You, Lord, for the divine appointments we see in Your Word, and we know there's divine appointments today. And Lord, I pray today that we would be here and we would recognize that. And Lord, if anyone needs to respond with salvation, Lord, let this be the day. Or if they need to turn from their wicked ways and turn back to You, let that be the day. Or if it's some other thing, Lord, let them not hold back, but simply follow You. Help us to recognize that You love us just as we are, but desire to change us. Bless Your people now. In the name of Jesus, we pray.